The world needs messages of love, unity, compassion, and inclusivity now more than ever, and this podcast delivers that. Whether you're a parent, teacher, counselor, or energy healer, with the right intention, we all have the potential to be a healing presence for others. The truth is, we are all ordinary people capable of having an extraordinary impact. Imagine if we all did that on purpose. Join Global Impact visionary leader, intuitive healer, and spiritual mentor, Sue DeMay, for authentic conversations that will inspire you to become more of a healing presence in your work, in your relationships, and in the world. And now, here is your host, Sue DeMay.
Welcome to the podcast, and I'm here with a special guest. Once again, to talk about our new book, We Are All Healers. Ordinary people with extraordinary intention will heal the world. This podcast is all about how we can all own and embrace the fact that we are healers. We can heal ourselves. We can inspire and empower healing in others by being a healing presence in the world. And we can be a healing presence for ourselves, but we can be a healing presence in the world. And we are doing that whether we realize it or not. So when we do it with intention, we do it on purpose, we have an even greater impact on the lives of those individuals that are around us. So today I'm having a conversation with Aparna. Aparna is one of the authors in the book, and she shared her story in the book as well. And I'm honored to have her. She's been in my community for quite a while, and I've always really enjoyed having conversations with her, and I'm excited to invite you to listen with a wide open heart and a wide open mind and just see what comes in and what resonates and lands for you today. Each episode that we share will spark different ideas, different insights, different moments of aha, and insights that come in that actually can inspire you to make different little shifts in your life that will have great impact. So today, welcome Aparna. It's so lovely to have you here. I'm so honored to have you with me.
Hello, Sue. Thank you. Thank you for having me here. It's always an honor to be in your presence, be it in the community or even sharing the space with you. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you. So let's begin. And you mentioned like being in my presence, and I enjoy being in your presence. So it's a mutual feeling there. So let's begin with sharing, what does it mean for you when you hear the words being a healing presence? What does that mean for you, and how does that show up in your life?
Yeah, I feel like the word healing presence is really expansive. And most of us walk a path that is so unique to us. And the path we walk, that itself becomes a healing way for us. And in turn, I feel like it offers us a space to become a healing presence, to both to ourselves and to the path that we're walking on, which probably involves a lot more others. Mm-hmm. To me, when I think of healing presence, is bringing compassion to the space. And I know I can be compassionate, and perhaps I cannot fix others, which is what I used to think when I used to think of the term healing was about fixing someone. And definitely it's not that. It's really about holding a space for their own uncovering and for a space for them to find their own light, to feel who they are, and to really remember their unique essence. And that to me is what a healing presence does to anyone. So this is probably how I felt when I've been in the community with you and so many others who are these beautiful beacons of light, and they hold this compassionate, non-judgmental space for others. And here we are holding this empathetic space where anyone else can just feel at home with themselves and at home with the others around them. And to me, I feel the world needs more of these.
Yeah, I agree. There's not a lot of space, not a lot of spaces you can go right now where there's not judgment, right?
That's right.
And even the judgment is not even judgment, it's like judgment and attack, or judgment and projection, the perception of attack. And you know, when you bring in the word compassion, it's kind of like, ah, yeah, like I just want to, like, you know, rest in compassion and lean into compassion and embrace compassion and, you know, extend compassion, because I feel like the world just needs so much love right now, because there's so much more fear than ever before. There's so much more, you know, discord and separation and division. And in some ways, you know, we can look out and see that happening more and more. But in my experience, what I'm seeing is, yes, that's happening. And I'm seeing more unity, more unification, more coming together, more finding these sweet pockets of communities, or, you know, places where we can go and land in this space of non-judgment, or in that space of compassion, like you were talking about. Being held in that space is such a nourishing experience right now, because the contrast in Absolutely. The world is so opposite right now.
Absolutely. Yes, I do agree on that. And it's so funny, isn't it? I mean, there is so much discord and polarizations and separation going on in the world. And at the same time, we're finding these increasing number of pockets of spaces where you're, where there's a movement, a beautiful healing movement happening around the world. And I feel like it's kind of rippling its effect around. Just as one individual begins to become awake or heal those shadow areas within themselves, they begin to ripple their love and affection that they share for themselves to the person around them. And then that seems to move out into the communities they thrive in. And I feel like that's really what the organic kind of movement I'm looking at. And it feels really encouraging to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, even like when you use the word organic movement, it's there's an intention without the effort, like without the trying, let's use that word, without the trying. It's like when we hold that intention, when we show up, like Gandhi always says, you know, be the change. My favorite quote is, be the change you wish to see in the world. It's like, be that presence of love, be that presence of courage, be that presence of compassion, be that presence of love, so that it does create that ripple effect. And it is felt. It's felt whether we realize it or not. So if we're walking down the street and we're in a miserable mood and we're all angry and frustrated, that is having a ripple effect. And if we walk down the street and we are like, okay, I may feel frustrated right now, but I'm going to choose love. I'm going to choose compassion for myself right now because I'm feeling this way, or acceptance that I'm feeling this way. That in itself, just that awareness around how you're feeling, can change the ripple effect that's going out. And then if we choose to shift out of that frustration and find a way to process that so that we can actually come full circle back into alignment with love and compassion, then that has even a greater impact going out. And, you know, when I reflect on my relationship with you and watching you kind of grow and expand over all these years we've been working together, I see this like blossoming of just this gentle angel coming in and just wrapping your wings around people and, like, you know, bringing them into your space and going, okay, I hear you, I see you, I honor you, I support you, right? So you have this, like, almost like a mother bird <It's> like coming around and, you know, embracing. Can you talk a little bit about the work you're doing? Because I feel like there's a lot of women out there that could really appreciate, you know, the space you're holding for women with fertility challenges. I think that there's a lot more out there than, you know, a lot of people really struggling in isolation and not realizing that there are pockets and communities where they can come and feel like a sense of belonging.
Yeah, of course. And quite interesting, this is called the National Infertility Awareness Week here in the USA. It seems like we're talking something, but I do have a clear opposition to the word infertility, because I feel like we are always fertile. We are always pregnant with something. And it doesn't make sense to use a word that has nothing to do with the whole challenge that women face at this time. So with my journey, with over 12 years of walking the path to becoming a mother, I feel like I've seen the nuances of this journey much more closely than probably the ones who don't know about it. And I stand in solidarity with the women and the couples who face these challenges, because there's not much help or awareness out there about what are these challenges. And in my personal opinion, I can say this, and I do feel like others may feel like I'm talking on their behalf, is this doesn't seem like a health challenge. It is more of an emotional, a physical, a spiritual challenge that we begin to encounter as we walk this journey. And this path, especially when it's long and challenging, it brings you to your knees so many times. And the path really offers you an invitation for greater transformation. But at the same time, you really cannot deny the feelings that these bring up, the emotions that come up on this journey, especially the ones of fear, uncertainty, helplessness, not knowing the next step is, or not having the support of individuals who are in a medical field, trying to listen to you, to what you're going through, because everything is put in it's almost like a cookie cutter. You don't do this, you go to this next step, and then the next and the next. But nobody really talks about the emotional journey that we undertake with every disappointment, with every heartbreak, with all of the emotional distress. It's really hard for someone else to understand if they've not walked the journey. And to me, I felt like I could be that when I was actually moving through my own distress and really debilitating moments of emotions, which I just didn't know how to process. I feel like I had the support. I had those mentors coming in, including you yourself, Sue, who held my hand and helped me process that. And it does not mean that you take away my pain. It's because you see me, you appreciate me. You really hold that loving space where I can process it and find a perspective so I can move to the next part of it with more grace. And I feel like that's really what I want to be for others, where they can find themselves being at home and knowing that their pain is valued. It's not underestimated, especially in the wake of the amount of time that it takes for us to move through these journeys. And sometimes the outcome doesn't seem to be exactly what we desire. And that's a baby. But still, can you still find the joy in your life and rediscover the life within you and awaken to your own path? You have no idea where this path leads. And that really was my story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that we end up miserable, we end up desperate, or we end up resentful of this journey just because you don't have a baby at the end of it. But the challenge is to keep your heart open, to believe again, and to open your heart to faith again, because I feel like that's a bigger alchemical process in itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to be able to hold, you know, such sacred space. You used the word grace and you used compassion and just really listening to what people are going through and having that level of, you know, feeling heard. I think a lot of people just want to feel heard, right? And want to be heard and feel understood. Like the challenge that a lot of us face, whether it's, you know, a fertility challenge or just even other emotional challenges right now, a lot of times people don't really understand what we're going through. But to be able to find a space or find someone that can actually hold that container to listen, to see, to honor, to witness, you know, witness the emotions, witness the process, witness the challenges, it's such a gift. Like being a presence of grace and compassion and listening, that is such a gift right now. And I want everybody just to hear, just never underestimate the power of kind of leaning in and really just holding space for somebody. That is it has way more impact than we realize. And that's a lot of what you do is you, I remember when I had my studio and I was teaching fertility yoga, it's like women would come in the first time they come into class and they see other women in the classroom, they were like visibly relieved. It's like, oh, I'm not alone. It's not just me struggling and having these challenges. Other people are having these challenges too. So when we meet people with that level of compassion and open up these spaces for people to come and feel like they are understood or heard and witnessed for the challenges they're going through, that in itself is healing. Even if we don't totally understand, we don't have to have the same journey, although you've had your fertility experiences, I've had mine. So we have a deeper understanding to support, you know, women and couples, but it doesn't always have to be that way. We can show up as compassion in any circumstance for anyone at any time. That's the beauty of being a healing presence and just setting that intention is, okay, how can I show up for this individual? They are struggling, they're emotional, you know, they're confused, you know, even just asking your heart, it's like, what do they need to hear right now? How do I need to show up for them? What do they need for me in this moment to feel like I'm holding space for them?
Yes, I truly agree. Yeah, I agree with you. Just feeling the emotions being held in a space where they can open themselves up and be heard, I feel like that's such a big gift, such a precious gift.
Yeah. And then to be able to do that with ourselves. So there's a lot of people that just, you know, they deny their emotions or avoid their emotions, or, you know, they're confused by their emotions or afraid of their emotions. I see emotions are energy in motion. It just needs to be processed. It just needs to be honored and witnessed. And sometimes it needs an outside witness like you or myself or someone else, a friend or family member that you trust. And then other times it's just, we need to witness our own emotions, like just taking the time to like give ourselves permission to cry if we need to cry, giving ourselves permission to laugh if we need to laugh. You know, it's like, it doesn't always have to be negative emotions we hold in. Sometimes we hold back our joy. Sometimes we hold back our happiness or, you know, our humor, even our laughter. So to be able to really give space to all emotions, that in itself can be really tremendously healing.
Yes, that's true. I was smiling when you said we could be actually closing down on our joy as well. And I think that's really something that happens, because as you're moving through the circle of emotions, you sometimes lose sense of what really are you here in the world for? Because at times you may feel like probably this is the end, or these emotions are too overwhelming and you can't really process them. And it does feel like that when you're in the midst of it. But moving through them and then releasing the density is what just opens you up, and then opens you up again to joy. And that's something which you probably missed.
Yeah. Well, I think we're conditioned not to be so happy or joyful. Like, it's like we almost get like it gets squashed down, right? We get discouraged, like, you know, and there's almost like I know they talk about survivor's guilt for those that, you know, like even with fertility, there can be like, I know women that have gone on to actually conceive and they have friends that are still struggling to conceive. There's some guilt around that. So we are conditioned to feel guilty for being happy when other people are still struggling or they're in, you know, a heavier place, or we are conditioned not to feel joy when, you know, there's so much, you know, there's so much evidence of suffering in the world. Well, if we all thought that way, then we'd all be suffering and we'd all continue to suffer and there'd be no space for joy at all. So
that's right.
We have to allow the pockets to rise and within us, and then let those be the ripples. And maybe it sparks insight, or it sparks a little trickle of joy in someone else. We never
exactly.
know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you feel when you kind of consider, you know, the work you're doing and what you're called to do in the world with, you know, the spirit baby readings and working with women with fertility and couples and stuff and supporting them? What are some words other than compassion, because you've shared compassion, what are some other words that can really that people maybe can like land in and embrace and invite as a healing intention for themselves? What other kind of words do you think would support them?
Yeah, I think the first word that comes up is empowering yourself and being connected to your own self. That is more important. Oftentimes when I think about healing and spirituality, there's almost like this upper chakra sense of ascension and things about moving into Zen mode and all of those. But to be honest, really coming down into the body, moving through the somatic body that we each are embodied within, I feel like that is the place to start with. And we could be living in the mind and thinking that we are living in the body, being embodied, but it's truly about embracing the humanness of who we are and still knowing that we can be empowered, we can be limitless co-creators on this journey. It's the deep connection to our own selves. And I feel like at this point, I'm just beginning to see what is the shortest way that you can feel connected back to life. And that is when you look outside of your window, even just looking at a flower, and then noticing that is actually there's a life spirit there. There's a life spirit around you. And then immediately I feel like there's a connection between me and that spirit outside of me. And then you realize that you're never alone on this journey. You're always held in deep love, and nature is always with you. So in my regard, I feel like connection, feeling empowered, and having a sense of self is very important. The self-worth is truly, it's truly a space where you land within your own self. And it does not depend on how others perceive you or how others want to look at you. And it's no more dependent on what others have to say about you, but a clarity that you feel within yourself. So coming back into that inner stillness, the inner joy, your own inner friendship with your own fears, your processes, I feel like is very necessary.
Yeah, I can really relate to what you're saying, because I remember on my fertility journey, it was really like it was about reconnecting and healing that relationship I had with myself. So becoming my own best friend. And then it became learning to mother myself.
Yes.
So bringing that mothering energy and mothering self. And as a result, I'm actually a better mother because I learned to mother myself first. And even just being like a mothering presence in the world, like what would a nurturing mothering presence look like, feel like, and show up that way, right? So I see like everyone can be our children. Everything can be our children. The other thing you said that just struck a memory for me was I read somewhere that a book, it was a long time ago, that said everything has a soul. Everything and everyone has a soul, like a rock has a soul, a blade of grass has a soul. So when you said, you know, I see the spirit in that flower, the light in that flower, I was like, oh yeah, it just reminded me of that. It's just like, yeah, I see the soul in everything. And just even greeting everything from that space of connection, right? Because sometimes it's harder to connect with other people when we're in, you know, kind of an emotional, you know, state where we're just confused or maybe feeling isolated. We can find that connection in nature. At least I could so easily as a child. So I find it much easier now, even as an adult, to remember how it is that connection with nature is just, it's so innocent and it's so much easier, and it often feels safer, especially when we're feeling emotional.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. I do have a practice of connecting with my plants every morning, just saying, hello, how are you? Good morning. And I just love the way I have a response from them, whether it's the wind blowing and they kind of shaking up and the leaves rustling, anything. It just feels so good. And I feel like the connection is very important to hold you back where you are. And I do feel like as empaths and as highly sensitive people, it's so hard for us to find our grounding, which is something I struggled with for a very long time in my life. And I do struggle even now sometimes, but I feel like I've learned the art of grounding, at least now. It's just begun to anchor more into me. And I think a lot of us could be feeling very sensitive to Earth and to the stories that the Earth holds. And at times we may find ourselves feeling more ungrounded and unrooted. And I feel like grounding yourself is taking care of yourself too. That's,
Yeah, being, I, the, I keep getting the words like feeling that connection to self, feeling that connection to the earth, feeling that connection to nature is so nurturing and nourishing, right?
Love and that. I'd just love to talk something about the spirit baby connections, that especially the emotions around it and what comes up. The first time I connected with the spirit babies, when I did not know what they even meant, or I didn't know the names that they were given to describe spirit babies, was just an energy that was following me, and it felt like a baby energy. So even this happened when I was grieving a miscarriage. So at the time that I'm grieving, and I'm actually seeing a different kind of a paradox of experiencing baby energies, I felt like there was so much joy I could open into. Like just the presence of these energies brought me joy. So it wasn't all doom and gloom when I was really going through the grief of a miscarriage. But it was also some kind of a curiosity and these pockets of hope I was feeling. And I feel like that became a very pivotal point for me to kind of embark on this journey with a much more clearer and almost like a purposeful journey, which often it doesn't happen when we are in chaotic or emotional situations. It so happens that we don't find why are we even here or what are we to do? There's so much confusion. But what I felt was bringing the connection and the joy again just kind of brought me back to this path with more ease. And it always felt like there was purpose behind it. And yeah, I do find the purpose now.
I definitely feel like you've landed in a space where you're living your purpose and living on purpose in support of self and others. There's a beautiful harmony between the work you're doing, how it's nurturing you, but also how it's nurturing and nourishing others as well.
Oh, yes. I mean, any spirit baby reading is such a beautiful playground for both the person who is receiving it, as well as me who is part of it, just being a channel. I've noticed that it's such a beautiful energy that's created. And these spirit babies, they come and play in the field. They are often really joyful companions on this journey.
Yeah,
and that's how I see it.
Yeah, I definitely feel like at one point I talked about my studio being a playground. There's like so many spirit babies in there that at the time it was like a big playground, and they all had their own unique personalities. They show up like that's a presence. That's a whole other level of presence we could talk about, is like, you know, spirit baby presence, or the presence of loved ones who have passed and having, you know, guardians and stuff like that, that are there on, you know, from that have passed on, that are still present. I know that there's many people. Like yesterday I was sitting and I just closed my eyes and I just thought of my mom, and a hummingbird came and I'm like, there she is, you know? So the hummingbird is a symbol of our connection. The hummingbird for me is a symbol of my grandfather, my father, my grandmother, now my mother. So when I have those thoughts, often the hummingbirds show up for me. So to be able to communicate or connect or feel a presence of support from, you know, whether it's our divinity, God, the universe, a spirit, your parents or a loved one who has passed, or spirit baby, is like just knowing that we are not alone. We are so not alone, and never alone, even when we feel alone, and that there's always someone or something we can connect to. And
that's
a key.
That's really true.
Beautiful. So how can people connect with you if there's somebody that wants a spirit baby reading, or they just want to connect with you and find out more about what you do? How can they find you?
Yeah, of course. The best place is my website, and it's www.whisperwithin.me. Or you can also find me on Instagram. It says Whisper Within Me. So yeah, you can just do a check my website, and if anything resonates with you, you can always book a call, or they are absolutely welcome to contact me.
Beautiful. So I'll have that link in the description of the course notes as well, so you can connect to Aparna through her website. And if you feel drawn to follow up and work with her, then follow that nudge, because she can definitely hold such a beautiful space of love, compassion, nourishment, nurturing that connection within you, reminding you that that light within you is always there, and that being able to connect to that and feel and sense and know that, remember that, is such a gift. And she's a beautiful bridge to support you getting there. So thank you, Aparna. Is there anything you want to kind of, maybe some last words you want to share, anything that's still in your heart that you feel you want to share before we close up?
No, thank you, Sue. And just reading these books and the stories in these books have been such a beautiful reminder of the human journeys that we undertake. And yet we can clearly be a healing presence in this world. It's so beautiful. I've just been reading the stories, and every single story has touched me to my heart. So thank you for bringing all this together and having me here. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thank you. So if you haven't already found the book, it's available in ebook and also printed, print on demand. We Are All Healers. Ordinary People with Extraordinary Intention Will Heal the World. I am the main co-creative author, and then there's at least 20, I believe, authors that have shared stories in here, including Aparna. And this book, if you just hold the book, it's got a healing energy. It's just like so scrumptious. People don't want to put it down. There's people that are carrying it around with them just because they feel the energy of the book, because the intention is so clear with it. So if you haven't already gotten your book, I encourage you to go out. It's available at all the online bookstores, and you can find it anywhere pretty much if you search. So thank you, Aparna.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening and for joining us and sharing in this series, We Are All Healers podcast series. I'm going to continue to interview the authors from the book. And then I'll be moving on to interview just extraordinary, ordinary people all over the world that are doing some amazing work. Even those behind the scenes that we are having an impact that we don't always notice or see in the forefront, like mothers and individuals that are doing amazing, amazing work by being a healing presence. So we're going to have lots of little different voices that everybody can relate to, at least one or another. So thank you all for being here. I appreciate you. I honor you. I see you. And I bless you. Until next time, love and blessings.
Thank you for joining our global healing movement and podcast, inspired by the international best-selling book, We Are All Healers. Ordinary People with Extraordinary Intention Will Heal the World. Order your copy today on your favorite online bookstore. 100% of the royalties go to support our Heart-Led Living Foundation humanitarian projects. Together, we can uplift humanity and unify us in love for each other and our planet.